Luke chapter 1, as we read the account, we're going to do a throwback Sunday from Luke, and which I love how it shares in regarding the shepherds. Can only imagine what they went through when they saw Jesus born in the stable there. And man, I love these movies of Chosen, because it kind of fills in the in between the scriptures there, and how what would they say or what would they have done. And man, it's good though. But look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start off in verse 1. We're going to try to get through it. So verse 1, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of the things which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered to them, it seemed good to me also, to having perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know without certain the things which you were instructed. And, you know, I think reading the Word of God and seeing these things, you know, how certain we are that all these things taken place, and the Word of God is truth, and we believe it because why? We've seen it. We live it in our own lives, and so this is why we believe it to be true, and we experience it in our own lives. And I love that saying. You know, they said the world says seeing is believing, but believing is seeing. Now, what I want to do is, because I'm looking at the time, so we're going to go ahead, and I want you to turn to verse 26, because verse 1 through 25, it talks about the birth of John, his cousin, John, and how he was born, and what his role was, and how he met Christ, his cousin there. And so we're gonna jump ahead. We're going to look at verse 26 and actually look at the birth and the announcement of Mary, because we're running out of time here. So are you guys in verse 26? Okay, let's read that now. Now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women." Now, the Greek meaning here, highly favored, is the Greek meaning highly blessed or much grace. Now, we talked about this Friday. But the meaning is also used concerning us. We are blessed. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that the praises of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And so we are highly favored, not because of who we are, but because we are in Christ. That's why, because of who he is. I love what John said when he says, "I have to decrease so that Jesus can increase." And that's true for us today. And Paul said it well in 2 Corinthians 5:17 when he said, "Therefore, if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creation. All the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." So rejoice, Mary, highly favored, because the Lord is with you, and blessed are you among women. Now, many scholars believe, again, mention this, that Mary at this point, she was a teenager. She was about 15 or 16 years of age, but she must have been a wonderful young woman. She must have been one of those teenagers that, you know, were very obedient and were God-fearing. Because she was a woman who was selected of all the women around there. She was the one to be the one who bare the Son of God. She was chosen, a teenager among women, older women. But I think the world needs to know that even though she was blessed among women, she was not blessed. She was blessed among the women. She was not blessed above women. Okay, she was blessed among women, but not above women. Therefore, there's no scriptures, commandments here that would suggest that Mary should be worshipped or prayed to or lifted up as one who redeemed us, or, you know, was part of the redemption of our salvation. She was one who had a heart for God, and when she was at the foot of of the cross, and I like to look at it as being blessed among women. Listen, this is why I think she was blessed, because when she was at the feet of her son Jesus, she realized that Jesus was no longer her son, but her God. When she was there at the cross, she looked up and she didn't say, "My son." She said, "My God." He was no longer her son, but her God. So yes, she was blessed among women. She was elected by God himself to play a big part in bringing salvation into the world. But she was only a woman, born into sin, just like the rest of us. And I like to think that every one of you have been chosen by God to play a part in that role of bringing salvation. Every time we share with somebody, every time we plant seeds, every time we share the word of God or just mention Jesus or God himself, we are playing that part, our part, in the work of salvation. Because that's why he came. Now look at verse 29. But when she saw the angel, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and consider what manner of greetings this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Which, again, Jesus in the Greek word is from the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is our salvation. And Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody can come to the Father except through me." His name is truly was his calling. It was why he came. His name meant Jehovah is salvation. Look at verse 32. "And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." And we know Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 prophesied about Jesus. For it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, it says that the government of the kingdom of God is upon the shoulders of Jesus Christ. And that was prophesied in the Old Testament. It came in the New Testament. It's going to come in the future when he reigns for 1,000 years. But what did he bear on his shoulders? The cross. The cross identified Jesus as the King of the Jews. It was written on there in three languages. We're talking Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The one who would die for his subjects. He died for the people. He didn't come here to be served by the people. He came to serve. And I love what 1 Timothy 6:15, Jesus is declared as what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is our God. Verse 34, Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" Now, this angel came to Zechariah and Elizabeth as well. When he came to Zechariah, and not like Zechariah, Mary didn't really question Gabriel's statement here. She just wanted to know how this was going to happen, because she said, "I haven't been with the man, so how is this going to happen?" But in verse 18, when Gabriel came to Zechariah and told him, Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is well advanced in years." So in other words, he said, "Hey, how can this be? I'm old and my wife is older. How's this going to happen?" You know, I don't know if she was older, but it's just funny that he says, "Hey, I'm old and my wife, she's way advanced in years," you know. But you know what, Zechariah, you know, he could have rejoiced. And you know, when he was there in the temple, when he's doing his priestly duties, when Gabriel came to him, I'm sure he wasn't actually praying for them to bear some, because they were way advanced in years. But I'm sure throughout their life they were praying, constantly praying for Elizabeth to have a son, because when women were barren back then, they believed that they were cursed, and that's why they couldn't have children, that God didn't like them. They were cursed by God. So here, Zechariah, he should have rejoiced. Instead of, he questioned the Lord and the angel, actually, that, and that's, but that's what unbelief does, right? It causes you to question. when you should, it should be a time we should be celebrating and rejoicing. You know, Zechariah, your fears are taken away. You're gonna be filled. It tells us you're gonna be filled with joy and gladness, and you're gonna have a son. Especially when you look like a great great grandpa. You know, you're gonna have a son. It'd be like Tony having a son. You know, Nyrene. You know. You know. You know. But the difference between Zechariah and Elizabeth having a son and Joseph and Mary is that they played a part in it. Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. They played a part in it. And look at verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Guys, this is the same answer that we're given today. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Was it? Who knows it? Does anybody know it by heart without looking? Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. I'll give you the first word. Not. By. Might. By my power. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. Mary is not to be not by man, but by the Holy Spirit of God. And verse 36, and indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son at her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. So Elizabeth was 6 months ahead of Mary, going through her own process of having this great miracle. And you want to know how? Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing will be impossible. At the birth of John, again, through Zechariah and Elizabeth, they played part in it, but it was by the power of God. They were way advanced in years, just like Abraham and Sarah, way advanced. They questioned, too. They even laughed. Sarah laughed, said, yeah, how can me and my husband enjoy one another? We're so old, you know, and Elizabeth and Zechariah, hey, you know, we're old. I'm old and my wife is older. How can this happen? Why? Because it was by the power of God. In 1 Corinthians 4:20 tells us, for the kingdom of God is not of word, but in power. You guys are holding power in your hands. Every time you share the word of God, you're sharing the power of God in somebody's life. Why? Because our God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. Nothing, there's nothing too big he can't do and nothing too small he won't do. He's omniscient. He knows everything. Nothing ever takes him by surprise. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere throughout time and space. He's eternal. He's immutable. He never changes the word of God. He never changes his promises, his attributes. And when we learn to accept those facts, then we're going to be able to receive the word of God in his work in our lives. Man, we're going to be able to say, hey, no, this is not word. This is power. It's the power of God for what? Salvation, we're told. We have it with us. I like to think of those shepherds, how excited they were. And I love that part hits me the most is when that shepherd who was, you know, disliked and everything, and he went and that Pharisee said, so did you find the sacrificial, perfect sacrificial lamb? And what he just smiled. Why? Because he did. Jesus Christ. He was the last sacrifice. Look at verse 38. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. And the angel departed. Now Mary arose in those days, and she went into the hillside with haste to the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of things which were told from her from the Lord. Isn't that awesome that Jesus is not yet born, or John's not yet born. And here we're reading that John is already worshiping in his mother's womb. God is knitting and perfectly putting John together in Elizabeth's womb, and he's already worshiping the Lord. For the minute Mary spoke, it stirred John up. It stirred up the baby, and he started to leap and worship in her womb. It was the fruit of Mary, your womb, that Elizabeth said. As soon as you spoke, guess what? John, he started kicking. This is how the power of God, how powerful the God, our God is. Now, we're going to jump ahead. It talks about, you know, Mary, she says her song, and we're going to jump ahead past Zechariah's prophecy. And let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. Isn't it awesome? How many of you know, you witnessed your son or your daughter when it kicks and moves in your wife's womb? You know, I just would lay there, and you can see when Stevie or Priscilla or Monique, when they kick, you see that little bump, it moves, and then you touch it, and actually it moves. Sometimes it would move, and then sometimes I put my hand there, and you can feel it. And I can imagine John I can't stop to think that when Elizabeth talked, Jesus in her stomach there, that John just started, you know, going like this. It's probably all excited, jumping in her womb. And what happened? She was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon her. Now look at verse 1, chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quintus was governor of Syria. So here we see Caesar Augustus, his decree is that everyone should return back to their homeland, and they were going to be taxed. Now, that was the purpose of making this decree, but little did he realize that he was being used to actually fulfill prophecy. Because in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it tells us, "But you, Bethlehem, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one who will be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting." His decree was actually fulfilling prophecy, getting Jesus to go back, go there for them to go back and do the census. And this prophecy of the Messiah of being born in Bethlehem in the city of David. So Caesar, he made the decree, but God ordained the plan. I love Proverbs 16:8, where it says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." So you guys can plan all you want, but God directs. He orders our steps. And I find that out a lot. Every time I make a plan or I do something, it never comes out the way I want it to. He changes it up. But you know why? Because it comes out even better. Amen. Better than what I plan to do. Or maybe God just... I think about when I was supposed to go to the Horizon pastor and pastor's wife luncheon, and I wasn't able to go, and I couldn't understand that. And I'm laying there and saying, "Lord, do you want me to go to this luncheon? I want to go. I want to be ministered to. I want to go. Getting the other pastors are all going to be there, and Mike's going to be there. Philip is going to be there. I want to get ministered to, but I couldn't even walk." And Carmen was telling me, "Come on, just do it, do it." I couldn't walk. I couldn't do anything. And I'm thinking, "God, don't you want me to go?" And I couldn't go. And I think, "Okay, why, Lord? Why wasn't I able to go? I really still don't understand why, but I'm sure I'm going to know when I get up there. Maybe we'd have got into a car accident. I don't know. Who knows?" But we can order it, we can plan, but God orders our steps. See, Caesar, he planned this all. He says, "I'm going to get everybody to go, and you're going to go report back to your hometown, and you're going to do a census, and you're going to be taxed and everything." But little did he know that that was already written in the scriptures, that he had to go back to Bethlehem. He had to go be born there. And so God ordered the steps. So look at verse 3. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out to the city of Nazareth into Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his engaged wife, who was with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there in the same country, shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So again, shepherds, they were like gypsies. They were considered gypsies back there, and they were looked down on because they felt that they're the ones that did all the dirty work. And we're told that they actually were used by the priests to watch over their sheep, the ones that they probably owned. And that they were using for to sacrifice in the temple, and I think of that that Pharisee and that shepherd, and how those sheep, that guy probably owned those sheep, and he probably had those shepherds watching over them and say, "Hey, you bring me the shepherds, bring me the sheep, so we can have that perfect sacrifice. Didn't I tell you to bring one without blemish?" And so they weren't allowed. They would keep watch over the sheep, but they weren't able to enter into the temple because they were considered unclean. Remember when he went into the temple there and that guy got up, that scribe, "Hey, get out. You know, they weren't allowed. They were looked down on. But, you know, the beauty of these shepherds is that they were the first to hear of Jesus' birth. The ones who were unclean, those who were considered outcasts. And who does that remind you of? Us, right? How we used to be. Just like Fernando shared. Over how many years? 30 years. Riding a Greyhound bus to prison. You know, now he's driving a bus, you know, and an outcast back then. But to hear the word of God. In verse 9, "And behold, the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in the manger.'" Man, I love this. The angel brought good tidings of great joy. And not only for the people of Israel, for them, but the same message is for us today. We got great tidings of great joy. I mean, I'm excited that I'm saved. I'm excited that I have the word of God and I can be sharing it with others. And the fact that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling cloths, wrapped in strips of cloths that were similar to those used in the embalming process. They would have strips and they would wrap bodies up. So we're told that Jesus as a baby was wrapped in grave clothes, which is really proper because Jesus came what? To die for the whole world. And you remember they brought him gifts and one of them was myrrh. And one of them was frankincense and gold. But myrrh, it was the same substance that was used in the embalming process of a dead body. What a gift to give to the king right here. "Oh, I have a gift. Here's some embalming fluid. This is for you." They didn't know. I'm sure that they knew what it was, but I'm sure that God planned that all out. Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying," let's read it together in 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I love it. Peace on earth towards those who what? Who are in God's will. John 6:29, Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." I mean, if you believe on him and whom the Father has sent, you will what? Experience peace and goodwill towards men. We're going to be an example. People are going to look at us and say, "Man, what you have, I want." That's the way our life should be. People should know that we're different. They should know that we have Christ in our lives. They should be able to say, "Hey, you know, pray for me." How many people who don't want nothing to do with the Lord, but they come to you and say, "Hey, pray for me," because they know that you will. Or they'll seek you for counsel. And so it doesn't matter what you're going through. You will internally within your heart, that inner man and that inner woman, experience a peace that passes all understanding. The joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The mercies that are new every morning. The new living hope. And guess what? Nobody can take that away from you. Amen. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and let's see the thing which had come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came without haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. So here we have the very first missionaries. Right after Jesus is born, they come and they witness him, and then they go and they tell everybody there in Bethlehem. Why? Because once you experience Emmanuel, which means God is with us, and you understand why he came, you understand what Christmas is all about, you can't help but do what the shepherds did, and you can't help but go and spread the word. Now, how many of you, when you had your family together, that you shared the word of God, or you prayed and you shared about Christ during Christmas? It's not about presents. It's not about trees. It's not about all those things. Those are fun. But it's about Jesus, Emmanuel, that God is with us. Look at verse 18, and we'll end it here. And all those who heard it marveled at these things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things within her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told to them. And that's what pretty much Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. I love that. And you know that clipping with Charlie Brown and Linus? I love that. It's very touching when he goes in there. Yeah, he tells the truth, right? And the light shines on him, and he shares the scriptures about being born again, and then he looks at Charlie, and that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. Jesus being born and living to die for us just to come back and to live in our hearts. Jesus' birth so that was born. Jesus was born so that we can be born again. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone right now. And Lord, that joy after the shepherds heard those angels proclaiming Jesus going to be born and the Messiah was going to be born and the Son of God. And the joy when they ran real fast to go see that it was so. And when they saw Jesus, the joy that came into them, and they were so excited that they couldn't help but run and tell everybody that the Messiah was born, that Jesus was born. Give us that joy, Father, in our hearts. Lord, coming in the new year, let it be the year of our Lord, where, Lord, Father God, we will be shouting it to the rooftop, shouting it and sharing it with everybody about the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So bless us, Lord, and let it begin now, Father, as when we leave here, Lord, let it start. Let us be like those shepherds. Let us run and make haste and share to everybody we can, just like Andy Fernando on the bus, Lord. Give us those opportunities. You give the opportunities. Let us see it. Open our eyes and let us shout and let us share, Father, that Jesus Christ was born and you can be born again. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand. I want to I shared this Friday, and somebody asked me if I would share it Sunday as well, but so I'm going to share it. My granddaughter, she wrote a letter to Santa Claus, and I intercepted it, and I opened it up because she told me, you get this to Santa Claus, send it. And I wanted to see what she wrote. She says, this is what I want for Christmas. So I open it up, and I have it here. And she writes, Gia Isabel Flores, for Christmas, I want for Jesus to come back and for a Merry Christmas. And that's it. And I thought, wow. And Jesus said that a little child shall lead them, and the kingdom of heaven belong to such as these. That here we have this 7-year-old praying and also asking for Jesus to come back. So it's exciting. It's not just us adults. It's even the children. It's the planet. It's the earth. God's creation as well. So let's be about God's about His presence, and let's get the word out and say, "Hey, Jesus is coming back, and you can be there with us." Amen. God bless.